thank you so much for meeting me with me here. Tell me why we're down in front of the courthouse today.
So we are here doing a 48-hour Hip Hop for Hope marathon performance, and I'm doing this to raise awareness and to raise funds for our A Coat to Keep the Coat Away Youth Coat Drive. So I'll be performing every hour for about 15 to 20 minutes for 48 hours straight. So.
Wow.
And we did 24 hours last month, and we were able to raise $3,000 or $4,000, inspired a lot of people. So hopefully we can double that output this time. So it's a big commitment, but I'm locked in for it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're what, 6-8 hours in right now?
8 hours in, yep.
How's it going so far?
It's going pretty good. I wish the sun would kind of stay where I'm at, but all these buildings downtown. But I'm doing pretty good. My hands get cold at times, my feet. But with the people walking out and being able to meet people and pass out flyers and tell them about our initiative, and then people coming down to visit and doing the different interviews like this one, it's kind of keeping my spirits up, and it's not too bad. I know the nighttime is a few hours away, and that's when it'll get rough.
Yeah, so you're rapping at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m.?
Oh, yeah, all the way through. Even when there's not a lot of people here, that's kind of the commitment, because with the initiative, we're helping families that a lot of people may not know about, or, you know, might not be highly publicized. So part of the sacrifice is, even when there's not a lot of people or cameras downtown, the sacrifice is every hour on the hour performing, whether there's somebody here or not. And that kind of symbolizes those families that are struggling that everybody doesn't know about. So definitely every hour, you know, every hour.
Wow. Okay, tell me a little bit about these families. Who are these coats going to?
Yeah. So we, our first 2 years, and this is our fourth year, we did Central Kentucky, Lexington and surrounding cities. We've now expanded to Eastern Kentucky, which is where the majority of our coats are going. And we work mostly through the school's Family Resource Center, because they know exactly what family, what students are in need. They give us a list, and then we give them the coats, and then they pass them out to the students. But then we also facilitate community requests. So we'll have single mothers or, you know, grandparents raising their kids that are retired that'll just hit us up, and we'll facilitate those as well.
Very nice. So how many families will this touch? What is your goal for this year?
Our goal. So how we normally do it is we get the request first, and then we go out and buy the coats per request. So we really don't have a lot of extras left over. So this year, last year we gave away 1,500 coats, which we thought was going to be the apex and kind of a something we could expect each year. But we added a few more cities this year, and 2,797 requests.
Wow.
From children in need. So right now we have 1,500 coats purchased, but we got about 1,200 more to go, which is why I'm out here, to try to raise more funds, to try to get more coat donations. We got about 8 or 9 days in order to reach our goal.
Till the schools close for the holiday.
Yeah, for the holidays, that's right.
Okay, so where can people donate?
So they can either drop brand new coats, and that's something that makes our coat drive unique. We only do brand new items for health reasons, and two, just to inspire the kids, you know, to be able to tear that tag off. So they can drop brand new coats down at the Plannery over by West 6 Brewery in Lexington, Kentucky, anytime Monday through Friday, 8:30 to 5 p.m. Or they can donate via Cash App or PayPal to 859-303-2637. Or if they just have any questions and, you know, they're a little weary about a way to donate, just contact us, believinginforever@gmail.com. Or they can hit us up on Facebook, Believing in Forever, Inc.
Okay. And a little bit of what else Believing in Forever does for the community.
So we try to, Believing in Forever tries, it's a nonprofit. We started in 2014, and we try to inspire young people through education, expressive art, community service, and mentoring. So we have 9 in-school mentoring programs. It's called Impact 859. We're in 9 different schools. We also have a Sons of Single Mothers mentoring program, which we just got a grant, which we'll be receiving in January from State Farm. We do youth open mics. We do philanthropy work like the Coat Drive. I do motivational youth speaking. And just a lot of different things that try to, we do weekly tutoring every week at LTMS for all Fayette County students. Anything that can kind of empower young people and inspire them in a little bit different way, a little bit different than the norm. We try to do that. We do back to school scholarships. We have an initiative called Grade A Cuts, where, you know, however many A's they earn on their last report card of the year, they get a free haircut voucher for each A. Oh. I think we gave away almost 1,000 vouchers last year to several different schools. So, again, just alternative ways to try to inspire kids to be leaders.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit and talk about Friday night. Friday night was also a benefit for a coat to keep the cold away. It's a little hard to say.
Yeah.
if you're not a hip hop artist. and that was a really great show.
Yeah,
Jocelyn came on before you. Before that, you had some other bands.
Yeah.
How did that night go?
It went great. I think they were expecting maybe a little bit bigger turnout, but for an early Friday show, I thought it was amazing. A lot of support. You know, I was able to, it's my first time performing since my 24-hour, so I was kind of a little fatigued still from the 24-hour marathon performance, but it felt good to be up there. It felt good to be up there with so many great bands. I mean, those are some of the best pound-for-pound artists that we have in all of Kentucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
So to see them all in different genres on one stage for a good cause, I thought was amazing. I thought the energy in the room matched what the causes were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times they do these benefit concerts, it almost seems like just business. But obviously all of the artists were locked in to the reason that we were there. Mm-hmm. Shouts to the borough. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great. It was an amazing night. We connected with a lot of people. There's still people that donated today that I met, you know, at the show that Friday. So, and even made a couple of friendships that I think will last a while. So I thought the show was great.
Very cool. It was a very diverse lineup,
which
I'm sure introduced your music to people who might not have been exposed to it before.
Yeah, and vice versa. Definitely.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And your crowds to their crowds and so on and so forth. Tell me a little bit about yourself as a hip-hop artist. How long have you been doing this?
So I wrote my first rhyme back when I was 16. That's when I really got into hip-hop music, writing and freestyling and kind of battling around the city. But I was still chasing my dream as a baseball player. So I played some years professionally in a minor league organization with the Cleveland Indians until I hurt my shoulder in 2004. I had my daughters a few years prior, so when I came back home, it was kind of back to real life, you know, getting a job, taking care of my girls. And then right around 2006, 2007 is when I really started to take hip-hop seriously. So about 10 years, I've been an independent artist. Been able to open up for acts like LL Cool J, Nappy Roots, and Little Brother, and Black Eyed Peas, and some other major acts. Got a couple songs with Nappy Roots and Cannabis and some other major label artists. And got to tour a lot regionally from New York to Chicago to Atlanta. And then I think that, you know, the hip-hop industry kind of took a turn a few years ago and kind of shied less away from the more positive music and geared more towards the kind of trendy hip-hop, which I didn't make. So I think right around that time, I realized that as far as pursuing hip-hop on a mainstream level, that it might not be for me. So I still continue to give back, do open mics for new artists in town, continue to make music for the fans that I did have. But I think that's when I started to gear more towards the community work, which has always been a basis of my music anyway.
Okay.
But yeah, hip-hop is still definitely the foundation of everything I've done. Even the class now that I'm teaching at University of Kentucky, which is a hip-hop and leadership class with Brian Haynes. So we talk about taking hip-hop music and how to use that as a tool of leadership in a community. So hip-hop still is a huge part of everything that I do. And, you know, I think lyrics, I think that poetry is so important for me. I think lyrics, I miss when hip-hop was based off of diverse, complex, parallel rhyme schemes and lyrics and when it really mattered, and substance. You know, you had to, you know, rap about things that were going on in the world. I mean, if you listen to mainstream hip-hop now, you really have no artists talking about all of these important events that are going on. You got the Charlottesville, you know, you had a lot of unarmed black men dying a couple years ago. You got Donald Trump in office. I mean, these are things that will be in our history books for our children, yet you rarely hear them mentioned in mainstream hip-hop music. And I come from an era of Public Enemy and Common and N.W.A. where they spoke on what was going on. So we, you know, I kind of miss that. So I try to embody that in my music. So.
Excellent, excellent. Will you tell me a little bit about your songwriting process, how your rhymes come to you?
Yeah. I think when I was younger, I was more concerned with being a technical writer, rhymer. So it was about just words and all the unique ways I could put words together and how I could, you know, my lines would be parallel and, you know, syllables and multi, you know, syllables. And I think I was more concerned less with content and more of just being a great technical writer, from almost a poetic standpoint. So I just kind of wrote loosely. I didn't need a concept. I didn't even need a beat. I could be at work and something come to my head and these two words that sound good together, and I would jot it down, and I used to build rhymes that way. But I think as I got older and realized how important hip hop music was, how in-depthly people listen to it, I think I started to focus more on the substance and constructing songs. So, you know, now I really can't even write without a beat or without a concept in mind or without a specific place to go with it. I just don't kind of just write in my free time like I used to. It has to be for a specific reason. And it's because I want to construct songs that people could listen to for years. You know, I could write a nice technical, you know, freestyle or a real lyrical verse that technically is sound, but, you know, it'll be hot at that moment and then, you know, forgot about after a while. But if I could make a song with a nice hook, a bridge, you know, with lyrics that are impactful and timeless, then it could last forever and it could impact more people for a longer period of time. So now I tend to write with that in mind.
So is my writing more difficult? Is it easier?
I think it's easier.
Yeah.
Because it comes from the heart. And usually a writer's block, or when you struggle to write, or a writer's block usually is mental. You know, so when you're writing from the soul, there's rarely a block in your soul. I mean, it's what you feel, you know, it's what you love, you know, or what you're passionate about. So I find it to be a little bit easier, you know. But there's ideas that musically I'm not inclined. Like, I might not be able to make beats. You know, I might not be able to sing a hook, you know. That's why I got Jocelyn on a whole bunch of my hooks on my new album.
Very smart.
It might be difficult in that sense that you can't do it all yourself, because it's about the music, which is larger than just your pen and pad. But for the most part, I think it's easier. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe I saw on Facebook that you're going back in the studio. You've been in the studio.
Yeah.
What are you working on right now?
So I just completed an album called The Good News, which is my first official gospel hip hop album, which my music's always been positive and been kind of trending that way the last couple of projects. And it's just kind of where I'm at. And but I kind of also don't like the stigma of gospel hip hop music. Because of what's kind of come before me. So I'm kind of wanting to carve my own niche within that industry. But I think it's one of my best bodies of work. I mean, King Tucky is tough to follow. I mean, that's a lot of my core fans' favorite project that I've ever put out. And honestly, it's one of mine. It's kind of my crown jewel. You know, if that was the last body of work I put out, I would be happy with King Tucky. So it was kind of a lot to try to top that.
Yeah.
But I feel I did in a different way with this. Not as lyrical, but very heartfelt, a lot of emotions. And it's, you know, 2017 has been a lot going on in my life. So to have that platform to express some of those emotions, I think this album is going to be something that fans can connect with.
Nice. Okay, to wrap it up, put you on the spot. What exactly is your message? What is your mission? What is your positive thing that you want to put out there, if you can sum it up?
Yeah, I think for me, and that's funny that you asked, I think two different ways with the music. I think it's always kind of unearthing truths or emotions that are often suppressed within hip-hop music. I think that's I'm an agent of change when it comes to that. I want to be the voice that you don't normally hear in hip-hop music, whether it is, you know, for the boy who didn't have a father in his life, or the young teenage girl that was molested, or, you know, the underserved black kid that lives in a city that's, you know, 90% doesn't look like him. You know what I mean? I think I want my music to be that, and I want my music to be uplifting to those that feel that they don't have a voice. So musically, I think it's that. As far as my mission in the community work, I just want to inspire the younger generation. We call it Believing in Forever because the only way forever can continue is if young people continue to be born, but then carry the torch. So we have to kind of teach them our ways. I don't really believe in bad mouthing or talking about the younger generation. It's our job to give them the wisdom, you know, so they can carry it on, not just kind of sit back and from a distance and judge. We got to engage them. So to me, that's what Believing in Forever is, impacting young people so that they can impact, and then that next generation can impact, and so on. So I think that's my mission.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you.
No problem.
I look forward to hearing you rap.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.